This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. Not going to make it home right away because I'm going to drop by the church and help them get set up for sound on Sunday. But I thought I would get the podcast done before that, and then I'm going to drop into the Walmart, get a little snack, and then head by church and get that taken care of. It's been a good week. So we've been able to get some things accomplished. Sounds like I need to put a little more extra power steering fluid in the car, but that's okay. Anyways, we've managed to get some good things done at work, getting some other things lined up. We are getting ready to go into the major registration event where everybody will line up and hopefully all the systems will do what they're supposed to do. That's not coming up this weekend, but next weekend. But we're doing all of our testing and everything seems to be fine and it seems to be doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we've got a training session next Thursday. So hopefully all this will be fine. We've got some extra training we have to do come next week. But everything's puttering along and we've shown it to people and we've checked our data and it all looks good. So I think everything is fine there. Writing is going fine. I'm getting input back from the beta readers. So this is my last week in this first sprint of book 21. And that seems to be going fine. Not exactly sure how book 21 is ending up yet, but I know what I'd like to accomplish in this book, and we'll go get that done. This is kind of a intermediary book because we're just bridging the gap. I think I know what's happening in book 22. And I've had that plan for a while, and then book 23 and 24 is really just about having the big grand finale of all this. So maybe I don't have to run by church. Just a second. Just a second here. Let me see. See you later. Let's see here. So we're good for sound then this week? ? Because I was getting ready to head that direction! ! So it looks like the person who is actually in charge of kind of the sound team got there a little early, took care of that, looks like they found Trump guilty of something. Hold it a minute. Let me do this. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. Listen, I hope that we're good for this week.
Okay.
My head was in a funny space today, but I did leave it set up because I told Nicole I had to run.
Okay. Sorry about that. That was Suzanne. She's the head of the sound team. So she had just called. I'm sure you heard a little bit of that, but, you know, that's okay. She wouldn't mind. So all is well. Things are puttering along. So yes, they managed to find Trump guilty. I guess the judge, I was reading something where the judge said, you have to be unanimous but you don't have to all agree on the means. So I'm an independent, okay? But it doesn't, gonna find 34 separate things that we're all gonna wave our hands about and just find him guilty. Oh man. So anyways, there you go. It's a momentous week. But 21 is coming along fine. The book is coming along fine. I think I'm going to manage to get to 90,000 words, which would be really good because then it's easy when I go into the second sprint. Got a little extra time and, you know, that's all easy. So that's good. I think I turned this back on. Did I turn this back on? I did turn this back on. Sorry, we're a little scatterbrained here today. So that's all good. Costumes are going fine. Tomorrow is World Parrot Day. Some fun stuff there and some research that I was doing. I found a really fun YouTube video about the history of parrots. And I mean, there's just, like, there was a pope who had a parrot that apparently could quote the Apostles' Creed. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. Because it said on the video that it was the entire Apostles' Creed, which is pretty impressive. But I mean, parrots, they're fun. So World Parrot Day, we're celebrating that tomorrow. And then at the same time, I'm working on a Marvin the Martian costume. And it's so interesting. It's just so very, very interesting because, you know, there's some complexities here. And it's just like when I was working on the Lion King costume. Not so much with the Bugs Bunny costume because I had a pattern for the Bugs Bunny mask face. And so that was easy. Just set them up, knock them down. And then as far as the tuxedo went, you know, I kind of worked into it. And I was like, okay, well, that'll work. This will work. That'll work. You know, it was easy to see my way clear with Marvin the Martian, because I want the eyes to move, and because it's a little larger scale costume, then, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, here we go again. But it's really fascinating how everything can just feel kind of opaque. But then there's this little voice that's saying, no, no, it's, you know, step at a time, step at a time, step at a time. And then you do a little bit of this, and then you kind of do a little bit of that, and you try this, and you try that. And so I've got the way this is going to work is, if you've seen Marvin the Martian, basically his head is just a black ball that has eyeballs on it. And then I'm at the Walmart. I'm going in to get a little snack, but we're going to finish up. We're going to finish this up before I go in and get my little snack. So you have this just black sphere that's a head with eyeballs on it. Then I want the eyeballs to move. And then he has a helmet that goes on the outside of that. And so I've pretty much got this planned in my head, I think, but there are lots of details from an engineering standpoint. So, I mean, this is going to be interesting. But I, you know, just got the pieces and built myself the ball that's 2 feet wide. I got that going. And then I started in on all the aluminum shoulder harness and the aluminum the stuff that's going to fit over my shoulders to carry this ball and keep it upright and then provide the ability for me to rotate within this. It's not something I haven't done before because I have not quite this complicated, but we're close. But then I started doing that and kind of started getting some pieces in place. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, so I know kind of what I need to work on this evening and what I need to try to put together this evening. And, you know, I know what those are. And then once we get that done, I know what the next step is for that. And we'll go. And then it just, it's amazing. Jesus just keeps whispering and you just put it together, you know, step at a time, step at a time, step at a time. So God is good. God is good. Now I will tell you there is another exciting development this week, and that is that the young man who lives in our rock house, who has been working on his EMT certification, I think probably I mentioned that he got through his class, and he passed his tests in that class, and he graduated. But then there was a national certification that he had to take. He took that today. He was a little concerned because there was plenty of stuff he felt like he didn't know on it, but turns out he did pass. Yay! So now he's got his national certification, and now it's a matter of him doing the fingerprinting and getting the background stuff passed, and then on to that. I had mentioned several weeks ago that there were a bunch of topics that came up all of a sudden, and I was just going to work my way through them. This is the third of those topics. And it is very interesting because I've kind of been on the periphery of this topic and kind of watching, and I understood, you know, I understood some of what was going on with this, but not really all of it. And it was a bit surprising when I got into this. It was like, oh, really? And it was a guy who had written a book on this topic. His name was Johan Hari. Went around, did a bunch of interviews, did a bunch of researches, and had written a book on Ozempic. And so he was talking about that, not only from the perspective of what he had reported, but also from his own personal experience, which was just pretty interesting. Ozempic is effective. There's no question about it. The question is, how does it do what it does? And are there side effects? And what are those side effects? And like that, and like that, and like that. I guess what I did not realize until I heard him talk is that whether or not the food manufacturers have understood what they're doing, the result has been a certain thing. I mean, I've said for years that sugar, fat, salt, you know, this was all just about trying to get you to eat as much as possible. And they have tuned their sugar, fat, salt stuff. And, you know, they're trying to make you just sit there and eat and eat and eat. What I didn't understand was that there is actually a physiological problem. Whether the food manufacturers understood that they were creating this physiological problem or not, I don't know. But they have. That's what it comes down to. They have. And as I was talking, I was just double checking because it felt like I had talked about this before on the podcast, but I don't see that I have. So there is this thing, a hormone called GLP-1, and this hormone is what gives us the feeling of being full. This hormone is what tells us, okay, you should stop eating now. Well, the modern highly processed food, in fact, suppresses that response, whether it's designed that way or they just stumbled upon it with their combination of sugar, fat, salt. I don't know, but it suppresses that response. And apparently, if you eat enough processed food, it not only suppresses that response, but it breaks it. So now you don't have people that are just, well, they just don't have enough willpower to stop eating. You actually have people that don't get that feeling of satiety where you're thinking, yeah, I'm fine. I don't need to eat anymore. They're just constantly hungry. And what Ozempic does, it's a GLP-1 agonist, which means it causes you, it works by injecting an artificial copy of a hormone in the body. So that now you have this hormone floating around your body and you feel like you're full. And this reporter's experience with it is really interesting because this reporter was really addicted to a lot of stuff. He used to talk about going into Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a bucket of chicken and just cleaning through it, how he was one of Kentucky Fried Chicken's, you know, favorite customers, all that kind of stuff. And he started injecting himself with Ozempic. And then he'd go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a bucket and he, you know, eat a couple of pieces and he's done. It was used for diabetics, and so it has been used in diabetics for years and years. So, and there are some side effects, you know, nausea, constipation, heart palpitations, those kind of things. But he says, look, they're all manageable. And for him, it led to a significant sense of satiety and fullness, and then weight loss. Because he's not eating as much. Now, I mean, there are some just basic problems with this, that just because you're not eating doesn't mean your body's getting the kind of nutrients that it needs. So just not eating is not necessarily a great solution for health. It will lead to weight loss, which apparently did for this reporter and many, many others. There are side effects to this, but it's really an interesting equation to try to make this work, because he says, according to the surveys that he was like looking at, that like 47 of Americans are wanting to take this drug because they're overweight and this is like a miracle, you know? And the fact of the matter is, if you are obese, you know, if you have a BMI over 35, the health risks to you are significant. They are significant. And the body appears to have a biological set point that once you've gained to a certain weight, the body does not want to lose the weight. So there's that factor as well. And your metabolism slows down and you get cravings and like this, like that, and the other. And Ozempic seems not only to provide a feeling of satiety, but it also seems to help reduce compulsive behaviors, which is interesting. He cited studies and anecdotal evidence from patients who've taken the drug, including a woman who reported a reduction in compulsive shopping after taking Ozempic for weight loss. The drug has also been shown to be effective in reducing cigarette smoking and alcohol consumption, although there's not a lot of research on that yet. I mean, there is a serious side effect, fairly serious, that whatever your risk of thyroid cancer, Ozempic seems to increase that risk by 50-75%. Now, people's risk of thyroid cancer is pretty low to begin with, but still, yeah. Of course, the problem is that you're going to have all kinds of people that are taking it for all kinds of reasons. And if all you're doing is just because you want to look thin and you're not paying attention to what you're eating to try to get some balanced nutrition in, you can cause yourself all sorts of things, problems. If you're still just eating food that's terrible for you, you're just not eating as much. And there's big questions about safety of pregnancy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so really, what this reporter kind of came up with that seems reasonable to me, he said, you know, look, if you have a BMI that's somewhere at least 35% or greater, the fact is you are at risk from a health perspective. There's absolutely no question about that. So do you want to take the risks with Ozempic to be able to potentially help yourself on the other side? And that was his equation. He decided to do it, and he decided to stick with it. And in fact, you have to stick with it. Because with Ozempic, if you go off Ozempic, you just gain back the weight, because it really hasn't solved anything. It's just given you a boost of this GLP-1 hormone, an artificial copy of it. And so it's supplying what your body should be doing that your body isn't doing. He says, you know, if you're between 27 and 35 BMI, then you really have to think about this, because you can get pancreatitis from it. There's a small portion of people who do. That is an extremely painful disease that can be treated, that people can recover from, but it's extremely painful. So there's that. It's just a really interesting balance here. You know, did anyone ever tell people that if you have a constant diet of these highly processed foods, it's not only going to make you fat, but it's going to destroy your body's ability, and it's just going to make it so much harder? Your body's ability to send you signals when you should be satisfied. No one told people that. And those kind of foods are cheap and they taste good and you want to eat a lot. I mean, it's just really terrible what the food industry has done. And then, of course, that breaks people's systems. And now, here we go, pharmacology to the rescue. Now you can take this, but it's expensive, and you have to take it the rest of your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to be in a constant state of malnourishment. You know, these are not good solutions. They're just not. But is the alternative worse? It's an interesting time to be alive, because this just feels like to me at every front that all these industries are just trying to bind people up into one kind of bondage or another. And that's just sad. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have finished driving around. I'm gonna run in, get myself a little snack, and then I'm off to church. Have a great day.